ओ भगवते वासुदेवाय भक्ति रसामृत सिंधु चैप्टर 5 दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द प्यूरिटी ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस ऑल द प्रीवियस इंस्ट्रक्शंस इम्पार्टेड बाय श्रील रूप गोस्वामी In his broad statements can be summarized thus. As long as one is materially inclined or desirous of merging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Next, Rupa Goswami states that devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations and that it is not limited to any particular country, class, society or circumstance. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is transcendental and has no cause. Devotional service is executed without any hope for gain and it cannot be checked by any material circumstance. It is open for all without any distinction and it is the constitutional occupation of the living entities. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya. Hare Krishna. So in the previous chapter which we discussed about the eligibility for practicing devotional service, who can practice? And in the next chapter which we did not discuss, which Rupa Goswami summarizes how devotional service surpasses liberation. They are the only people who are disqualified to practice devotional service, who desire to merge in the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we read, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Banaras, in that chapter, Kaviraj Goswami explains how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was slowly delivering everybody. Padiya Pashandi Nindaka, the learned, the hypocrites, the student class, everybody got liberated. But some or other the Mayavadis of Kashi, they avoided the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though flood of love of God was drowning everybody, some other they tried to escape from Mahaprabhu's mercy. But Lord Chaitanya's mercy was so great, he even chased them. And he delivered them. But in their constitutional, in their conditional nature, because they have this concept of merging into the existence of God, apparently they become disqualified to practice devotional service. So therefore Rupa Goswami makes it very clear how devotional service is far more, in fact it cannot be compared to the concept of liberation. And immediately Rupa Goswami presents, other than the Mayavadis, those who want to merge in the existence of God, everybody else can practice devotional service. Prabhupada begins by quoting the historical fact, after the Mahaprabhu unmanifested his pastime, he went back to the spiritual world. There was a class of people who claimed to be Nityananda Vamsha. Just because they were born in that family, they claimed that devotional service is their exclusive proprietorship. They would decide that, okay, I will initiate you. Only if I initiate you, then you are qualified to practice devotional service. And it went for many, many years. Up until Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur advented to this material world. Not only they were claiming proprietorship over devotional service, rather they were contaminating the process of Krishna consciousness by their speculative and professional touch. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared, and specially he dismantled this philosophy, and he accessed devotional service to everybody. And Prabhupada explains, After hard struggle, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was successful in establishing this fact that devotional service is not meant for certain class of people. It is not the proprietorship of one country. It is not the proprietorship of one class of people. But devotional service is meant for everybody. And Srila Prabhupada explains that following the footstep of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, ISKCON also preaches the same thing. That how devotional service can be preached to everybody. Anybody can accept the path of Krishna consciousness and become pure devotees. And Rupa Goswami quotes different shastras. In the Agastya Samhita it is explained. Just like if anybody goes to Kumbh Mela, especially in Prayag, you'll find not thousands or lakhs of people, crores of people at one place at the Prayag where Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati, they come together. At that place, crores of people, there is no discrimination then. Nobody asks you what caste you belong to. Are you a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra? Everybody can take bath in that confluence of Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. Just like one can take bath in that confluence, similarly anybody can take part in the ocean of devotional service. There is no discrimination. And our acharyas explain, taking bath in Ganga is not an ordinary activity. It is not something mundane piety as considered by so-called, you know, the Karmakandi people. It is said that, okay, if you take bath in Ganga, then all of your sinful activities are eradicated. That is one concept. But if you see from the devotional service point of view, taking bath in Ganga is a regular activity performed by the devotees of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would take everyday bath in Ganga. So just like this part of Hari Bhakti is performed by anybody and everybody, similarly, devotional service to the Lord can be performed by anybody and everybody. There is no barrier. There is no distinction. And then Rupa Goswami quotes from another scripture, the chandalas from the kingdom of Mayur Dwaj. Now Mayur Dwaj, if you read in other scripture, you may not find his name, is one of the very big king during the times of the Pandavas. When the Pandavas had performed the Ashwamedha Yajna, and during Ashwamedha Yajna they had to go and capture different kingdom. And all these surviving kings were only the devotees of the Lord. And one of them was Mayur Dwaj. And what was the speciality of his kingdom? Especially, king himself was a great devotee of the Lord. And because he was a great devotee, he understood the principle of devotional service. So therefore, Rupa Goswami quotes that in the kingdom of Mayur Dwaj, even the chandalas, means those who used to eat dogs in their previous time, before they became Vaishnavas, after they came in touch with Mayur Dwaj's kingdom, Mayur Dwaj arranged for their initiation from authorized bona fide Vaishnavas. All these dog eaters, their background was to eat dogs, but because they accepted the Vaishnava Diksha, they were properly dressed. They had a tilak, they had a kantimala, and they were chanting the names of the Lord. And by seeing them, Rupa Goswami explains, even though they were chandalas, how they were appearing? They were appearing like pure devotees of the Lord, as if they had come from the Vaikuntha planet. And the same principle Srila Prabhupada explains in his Krishna book. He said, before this Western people, they came to Krishna consciousness movement, they were appearing to be very dull, not very happy. But by accepting the process of Krishna consciousness, they have become so pure now. It appears that they have actually come from the Vaikuntha planet. It is not the simply externals, just because somebody shaves, somebody puts on the tilak, wears kantimala. Therefore, you know, as a dramatist, he looks like a Vaishnava. Now, the process of Krishna consciousness is so powerful, any connection to this process of devotional service, one becomes so pure. And therefore, Rupa Goswami quotes this. And Srila Prabhupada also quotes. And Rupa Goswami quotes Sanatana Goswami. Just like bell metal, when it comes in contact with mercury, it can be converted into gold. That is the art. Similarly, it doesn't matter what is your background. This is a very important principle. If anybody is practicing devotional service, asking for his background, just like Prabhupada would always say, oh, this is American Vaishnava, oh, this is European Vaishnava, that's an offense to the path of devotional service. There is no discrimination once one becomes Vaishnava. Vaishnava is Vaishnava. There is no such concept of, oh, this is American Vaishnava, this is European Vaishnava, and this is pure Indian Vaishnava. Anybody such discrimination, that means he has not understood the principle of devotional service. Just like during the India's independence, there was one great freedom fighter. And he made this slogan all over India and became very famous. What is that? Independence is my birthright. And by any means I will get it. And that became very famous. And where did he steal this from? He stole from this principle of devotional service. Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada and all our acharyas explain that devotional service is the birthright of all the living entities. It is not specially meant for certain class of people. That is the constitutional nature of the living entities. Just like in our previous class we were discussing, because devotional service is our constitutional nature, it is not something foreign. It is not practiced from outside. It is there inside. What we have to do? We have to just evoke that devotional service. By chanting and hearing, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, and Kaviraj Goswami quotes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, by remembering and hearing about Krishna, this devotional service which is hidden in the heart is evoked. That is the constitutional nature of the conditioned soul. Therefore, while practicing Krishna consciousness, he doesn't need to do anything else other than practice devotional service. Birth is not important. And then the second principle, that in the Vedic scripture there is always this concept of prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means, in the course of our activities, it is quite common to see that we'll keep committing some mistakes. In fact, in the Vedas, it is recommended that every person, one who is living in this world, he has to perform five kinds of sacrifice. Panchasuno yagya. Panchasuno yagya means, when you are lighting fire in your house to cook, you are killing so many germs, that is sin. When you are cleaning your house with water, you are killing so many germs. When you are grinding grains, you are killing so many germs. So in this way, in every activity, there are some sin committed by people knowingly or unknowingly. In fact, it is said that conditioned soul intentionally or unintentionally commits sinful activities. So that means you perform sin, and to eradicate that sin, you have to perform prayaschitta. That is mentioned in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. Therefore, in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read, when Parikshit Maharaj was about to hear the pastime of Ajamil, he heard about the hellish planets. After hearing about the hellish planet, he raised this question, my dear Sugadeva Goswami, what is it that these people are performing so many sinful activities? Is there any way through which they can be freed from the sin. And Sukhdev Goswami, being very expert spiritual master, he was testing Parikshit Maharaj. He gave many sub-religious principles, saying that, okay, you should perform prayaschitta. By performing prayaschitta, one can eradicate one's sinful activities. And Parikshit Maharaj did not accept it. He said, even if one eradicates sinful activities, but the desire to commit sinful activities is not gone, so what is the use of such prayaschitta? He said, that is like elephant bat. So Rupa Goswami says here, that when somebody is practicing devotional service, what is the prayaschitta? If by chance, if someone commits sinful activities, and it is quite natural that one will commit sinful activities, is it that he has to perform some prayaschitta? No, there is no need of prayaschitta. Process of Krishna consciousness is so powerful that there is no need to perform any prayaschitta. One has to continue to practice the process of Krishna consciousness. One has to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And one should continue to hear about Krishna. One should continue to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should continue to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no need to perform any other prayaschitta. That's how devotional service is so powerful. Even if some priestly class comes and tells, okay, if you have killed something, just like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, during the 15th and 16th century, when the Smartha class became very prominent, that became their business. Reading the text from the Karma Kanda sections of the Vedas and creating fear in the heart of the people. They would go to them and say, look, you have done this sin, and for this sin, you have to perform this kind of prayaschitta. And this will cost this much of money. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that one ordinary person went to one Brahman and said, look, unfortunately one young son has killed the cat. What is the prayaschitta? He said, oh, your son has killed the cat? He assumed that his son has killed the cat. He opened his textbook, Shastras, and said, look, for this sin, you have to make a golden cat and offer it to a Brahmana on such and such day. And that man said, sir, but that is your son who has committed this crime. Then immediately the rule changed. That means then it is not required. So in this way, the Smarthas were trying to exploit the innocent by causing fear in their heart. And when religion preached with the principle of fear, it does not last long. Eventually, when somebody utilizes their intelligence, the fear principle eventually causes rebellion. They say, why should I accept such principles of religion? God is not being merciful. God is very hard-hearted. You know, he's not being accommodating. His rules are very harsh. So therefore, one big scholar, one big philosopher in the West, he said, this God with rod, I cannot accept him. Such God is dead for me. What do I need is dancing and loving God. So all these smartha principles, rather giving the chance, understanding that devotional service is so powerful, that you just have to chant. You just have to practice the process of Navida Bhakti. Then automatically all of your sinful activities are eradicated. There is no need for any other prayaschitta. What is the prayaschitta? Prayaschitta is to engage in the service of the Lord. Therefore, when Parikshit Maharaj asked this question after hearing the hellish planets in the 5th canto, and immediately in the 6th canto, what did Sukhdev Goswami Maharaj do? Sukhdev Goswami started saying about Ajamil's pastime. What was the extent of Ajamil's sinful activities? There was no limit. Just like we see sometimes the criminals in the present world, they are given punishment. two life imprisonment. He lives only one lifetime, but because of his some sinful activities, he commits two murders, he commits three murders. They say, you know, you have been punished for three life imprisonment. That goes up to 160 years. But how long is he going to live? 60 or 50 years. Then they have to find some technicalities. Oh, day and night is considered to be 2 days. So if you stay in the prison for 15 years, that is as good as staying for 30 years. So punishment is given so that he can eradicate his sinful activities. But the path of devotional service is not like that. One comes to this conclusion, yes, I have sinned. But what is the process to overcome this sin? Not simply burning in the guilt of sinful activities. Rather taking the process, and that is the process of Krishna consciousness. Anybody from any background, Srila Rupa Goswami in the future pages of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu will quote the angas of devotional service. He says even the fragrance of incense which is offered to Lord Vishnu, when it enters into the nostrils of even a most sinful person, what does it do? It eradicates all the sinful activities he ever performed. Just see the power. And then Rupa Goswami explains next principle. What is good and what is bad? In the material world, the principle of good and bad is very, very relative. Therefore, when we base everything on the principle of good and bad on a relative level, that itself is bad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was discussing, I think with Sarvam Bhattacharya, he made this principle. Dvaite bhadra abhadra. That this is good and this is bad. This principle itself is wrong in this material world. Good and bad in this material world is bad. And on the spiritual level, even the bad can be made into good by practicing the process of Krishna consciousness. So Rupa Goswami brings the principle of what is the highest moral, what is the highest piety, and what is the highest immoral activity. He quotes the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord Krishna is teaching to Uddhav. Therein Lord Krishna explains to Uddhav that the highest good one can perform is that he continues to practice devotional service. That is the highest good. Sometimes the question is raised that even though our mind, our senses, our heart is contaminated with so many nonsensical things, so what is the value of practicing devotional service with such consciousness? Then we are mithyacharis, we are pretenders, we are being hypocrites. One can say like that, you know, my mind is being very nasty, so my chanting is, even though I am chanting, but I am thinking about material sense gratification. I am being pretender, I am not being honest. But then if you say, because I am dishonest in regards to devotional service, I should be honest, what will you do? Saying that I should be honest, one will go back and perform sense gratification with honestly. But that honesty itself is a big immoral. Even though one may be wrong, one may have a wrong consciousness, but if he continues to engage in the service of the Lord with this consciousness, then my dear Lord, I am sinful, I am fallen, but whatever it is, I need to engage in your service. That consciousness is so powerful. That will help a devotee to advance in the service of the Lord. Just like that story is there, that famous story of a Brahmana. Brahmana was very, very proud of his performing Gayatri. Morning, afternoon and evening. At right time he would perform all the sandhya. And he was proud of doing these things. And one day, because of he was exhausted, he was sleeping. He did not get up during the hours of sandhya. And somebody woke him up. And when he got up, he saw that somebody has woken him up, and he doesn't appear to be very, you know, cultured person, but he continued to chant his Gayatri. He finished his Gayatri. And he asked him, what is your identity? Who are you? And the man said, I am Kali personified. The Brahmana was shocked. He said, you are Kali personified? How is that? You woke me up to chant my mantra. You are supposed to stop everybody from performing religious activities. But you in fact encourage me to perform. What is this? And the Kali, he laughed. He said, my dear Brahman, because you have chanted the mantra, because you have continued to be very punctual in your mantra, therefore there is feeling of satisfaction and pride. And because of this, you'll get less credit. If you had not chanted on right time and you had repented about it, you could have got more credit of repentance. But here, you feel proud, you'll be contaminated. And that is my duty to contaminate everybody. So in the process of Krishna consciousness, while devotee engaged in the service of the Lord, realizing that I am fallen, with great humility, when he makes that is the highest morality. Even though apparently he may fall down on a mental level or sometime even on a sensual level, but because his heart is of repentance and he continues to practice devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rupa Goswami explains that such a devotee of the Lord should be considered as very advanced and highly qualified. And then Rupa Goswami quotes the Bhagavatam from the first canto, wherein Narad Muni is preaching to Vyasadeva. If someone gives up all of his occupational duties and engages in the service of the Lord, what is the loss? Because he is engaged in the service of the Lord. But if someone gives up devotional service to the Lord and engages in the occupational duties, what is the gain? There is no gain because he is not serving the Lord. And it is explained in the Bhagavad that occupational duty without the presence of the Supreme Lord will bring us more repeated birth and death. One has to come back to this material world. One has to die in this material world. One has to again accept material body. But one who has accepted Krishna consciousness as his ultimate goal, it may happen, Jiva Goswami explains, that it may happen that because of some physical sin, at some point of time, such a devotee of the Lord, as the non-devotees accept repeated birth and death, for some time they may accept repeated birth and death on a physical level, but on the consciousness level, their disposition towards Lord Hari remains the same. Very important point. It can be seen also, just like as a non-devotee accepts the material body, it may also happen that a devotee of the Lord accepts another material body. In the Bhagavatam we read, sometimes this question is raised, no, Bharat Maharaj was on the stage of Bhava platform. Then why did he fall down? He was so advanced, but still he fell down. That means if it can happen to him, what is the guarantee that devotional service will not save us? In fact, we may also get material body. So why perform? No, here Rupa Goswami explains that even if a devotee gets the material body, which is not very high class, take the example of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was such a devotee that he was on the platform of Bhava. But he fell down. Why did he fell down? Because of slight attachment. And because of his slight attachment, a person who was on the platform of Bhava, he eventually became a deer. Then he became Jad Bharat. That means he received a lower body. Again we read in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, great King Indradyumna Maharaj, he performed some mistake and he became an elephant. Chitraketu Maharaj, after hearing from Narad Muni, after hearing from Angira Muni, the process of devotional service, he became King of the Vidyadhara planets, always glorifying Lord Vishnu and moving about. And again, he was cursed by Mother Parvati to become Brahma Rakshas. He became what? He became Vritrasura demon. So we see that in the scriptures, even the great devotees, just like any other ordinary materialistic person, have also attained material body which has condemned them. So what is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee? And Rupa Goswami solves this problem. Even if such a great devotee of the Lord apparently accepts a body which is not conducive to perform religious activities, their disposition cannot be changed. Their consciousness of Krishna remains as it is without change. And we can see in all the cases, Bharat Maharaj, even though he fell down, as a deer, he was completely conscious of Krishna. That is the beauty of practicing devotional service. What body you have, what kind of material situation you have, it doesn't matter. What kind of consciousness you have, that matters. During the time of distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, Radha Damodar party, one time devotees were caught by the police. They were traveling in their van. They had a nice facility in the bus. You know, they had Radha Damodar deities. They were eating only Krishna Prasad. They were distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And suddenly the police caught them and they put them in the prison. Now it is just like, you know, being from that situation, bad situation, being in jail. Now, but because they had this consciousness of devotional service, when they came to jail, it is explained that all these devotees, they continue to worship their Lord in mind. Because mind is also matter. When we offer through our mind, it is as good as offering directly when you do not have that facility. So all these devotees, you know, they're imagining in the prison cell. You know, they are offering worship to Lord Damodar. One devotee would stand, you know, he would do aarti in his mind. He would doing it. And the jailer is watching what this person is doing. Is he gone crazy? You know, devotee is offering aarti. The pujari, he continued to serve the Lord. He imagined that the Radha Damodar are standing here. He was offering aarti. And all the devotees would come close. Oh, such a nice darshan. Krishna is wearing this kind of dress. They were meditating like that. And the cook, you know, who could not get to cook, he made his own kitchen in the mind. They were enacting all these pastimes. And they were cooking different kinds of bhogas. Not 10 items, 64 items. All different items. And they would bring it to the pujari. Pujari cooked so many items. And all the devotees would sit in the line after offering it to the Lord. And actually, you know, they would serve plates. And 3-4 servers would come. And one is serving puri, one is serving some sweets. And the jailer was watching, what's happening here? You know, these gone people are gone crazy. But they did not experience any change between actually being in the bus or being in the jail. They had the same feeling. Why? Because the material circumstances did not change. That is the power of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada explains, in the Karma Kanda section, if you want to perform any rituals, you cannot say that I do it in the mind. You cannot. You have to actually perform it. If you do not perform in actuality, simply performance of Karma Kanda in the mind will not give you the results. There has to be actual ingredients. There has to be actually priest who has to come and perform the sacrifice. There has to be actually have to give in charity. In fact, if there is slight mistake in performance of that sacrifice, just like Nriga Maharaj, he did everything, but rather he gave charity double. Same cow was given to two brahmanas. And rather than having good result, he had an opposite result. But devotional service is not like that. And then again, in the process of Jnana Marg, a person who is practicing household, he cannot practice Jnana Marg. The principle of Jnana Marg is that renunciation is the first qualification At least one has to become a sannyasi, then you practice jnana marga. But just in devotional service. What to speak of being in the prison and practicing devotional service? Our acharyas explain that even if you receive the body like a demon, Chitraketu Maharaj, he became a demon and he was acting as a demon. He was devouring on the human flesh. He was exactly behaving like the demons. He said, in fact, this is my swadharma, being a demon. You know, I am against the demigods. But actually when he met Indra and there was a big fight, then you can see the qualities of Vritrasur. He was offering such a prayers to the Lord. He says, my dear Indra, I do not desire to become the king of the heavenly planets. Nor do I desire to become the king of the hellish planets. I don't want to become the king of the lower planetary systems. What do I desire? I simply desire the dust from the lotus feet of devotees. When Indra heard his prayers from Vritrasur, he became flabbergasted. He was wonderstruck. He said, how is this? You are a demon, but you are offering these prayers. And Prabhupada writes in that context, he says, in this case, even though Vritrasur has the body of a demon, but Vritrasur is a devotee. And Indra, even though he has the body of a devotee, asura, a demigod, but because his mentality is that, I want sense gratification, in this case, Indra is a demon. So who is demon and who is a devotee is not decided by the externals. And devotional service, when somebody performs it, and if he performs some sinful activities, the material nature may provide him suitable body because of his physical sin. He may become a demon, he may become a deer, or he may become more sinful like Ajamil. But because the connection is there, the disposition at the right time, it creeps in. Just like Gajendra. What was his background? He was a king and a great devotee of the Lord. And it is explained that as a king, he had learned so many shlokas. He had learned so many prayers. But he was cursed by a saintly person to become an elephant. And when this king became an elephant, he forgot everything, because elephant means ignorance from outside and ignorance from inside. Such a huge body. So he forgot everything. He was acting completely like an elephant. But then, when the time came for him to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he was in the most difficult situation, what happened? Spontaneously the prayers to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead came in the mind of Indradyumna Maharaj as an elephant. And when he remembered those prayers, what happened? Suddenly the Lord appeared and he saved him. But in regards to performing karma kanda, as in the Brahma Samhita it is explained, one may become Lord Indra. Yastvindra gopam atavendra ahosva karma. Bandhanu rupa phala bhajana matanoti. One has to accept one's karma. And even if you have performed so many ritualistic activities, once you become an insignificant ant, you have no facilities to remember your past life. You act as if you are insignificant living entity. Prabhupada told this story. One time, Lord Narayan and Lakshmi, they were strolling around, they were going around. And Lord Narayan saw one couple ant and his wife, they were enjoying sense gratification. Now what is ant for Lord Narayan? And Lord Narayan started smiling. He was not smiling, he was laughing loudly. And Mother Lakshmi said, why do you laugh? What is the reason you are laughing? You are seeing an ant and you are laughing. And Lord Narayan said, I am amused. So Lakshmi said, what is to be amused here? There are ants, they are enjoying. And Lord Narayan said, you see that ant? which you are asking me the question, Lord Narayan said, I made this ant and his wife Indra for 72 times. He was Indra and his wife Sachi. They were 72 times Indras, not one and two times, for hundreds and thousands of years. But still the desire to enjoy sense gratification has not gone out of their mind. And still as ants they are enjoying. That is the difference becoming a devotee ant and non-devotee ant. Therefore Haridas Thakur explains this to show how the devotional service is so powerful. Even if by chance, by accident, one becomes an abominable animal, the disposition of Krishna consciousness remains as it is, and at the right time, it evokes. And therefore, Haridas Thakur says, even if I become a dog in the house of a Vaishnava, what will happen? Because the disposition is there, I will run after eating the remnants of the devotees only. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes, that you see hogs in Vrindavan, you see dogs in Vrindavan, you see monkeys in Vrindavan. They are not ordinary. As devotees of the Lord, especially the residents of Vrindavan, they did some mistake, and because of their mistake, naturally on the physical level, they are being punished. They have received this body of hog, dog or monkeys. But once they quit this body in the land of Vrindavan, what will happen? Prabhupada says that they will directly go back to the spiritual world. So therefore, one does not have to worry that just see, even Maharaj Bharat had to become a deer. But what was his consciousness? Indradyumna Maharaj had to become an elephant. But what was his consciousness? Chitraketu Maharaj has to become Vritrasur, but what was his consciousness? And on the other hand, we read, Srila Prabhupada explains, those Brahmanas who fought against the Lord, those Kshatriyas or those demons, in the previous Yugas, they fought against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some of them are given chance to become Brahmanas in this age of Kali. For what? Krishna is very accommodating. He gives chance. They are being born as the Brahmanas. Not every Brahmana, but some are given that chance to become Brahmanas so that being Brahmanas, they can continue to try to engage in the service of the Lord. But sometimes their demonic mentality creeps in even as Brahmanas. Therefore Prabhupada would quote this. That even though they are Brahmanas, but what was their background? Their background was demons. Krishna gave them chance, the material nature gave them chance to become Brahmanas. But even as a Brahmanas, if they don't change, then we should understand what was their background. So similarly, it doesn't matter if somebody is a non-devotee, how highly qualified that person is, it does not matter. And a devotee of the Lord, how low he becomes on the material estimation, that does not matter. Why? Because the principle of devotional service is so powerful, even in that condition of life, at the right time, his disposition of Krishna consciousness comes up. But because devotee is always careful, Prabhupada explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, devotee being very alert, he does not try to make the same mistake. As Prabhupada explains, that we should not behave just like the Smarthas. Oh, now I have become Vaishnava, therefore I can do anything and everything. That means he is not a high class Vaishnava. Prabhupada would say that after being initiated in the presence of the fire, in the presence of the spiritual master, in the presence of the deities, in the presence of all the assembled devotees, if somebody behaves in a wrong way, that means he has not taken Krishna consciousness seriously. One may have the conditioning, but one becomes serious in practicing devotional service. When he fights his conditioning, Krishna will help him to overcome his conditioning. And in this way, he progresses. And this Rupa Goswami quotes, in the Bhakti Prasamrita Sindhu, And again, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, quoting another verse from the Bhagavatam, that the devotee of the Lord, you know, suddenly because he's practicing Krishna consciousness, may give up all occupational duties, even though Krishna prescribes them. If you read in the 11th canto, Krishna's prescribing occupational duty, that one should engage in one's occupational duty. Shreyan Swadharma Viguna Parodharma Bhayavaya. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks, according to one's nature, it is better that one should engage in one's occupational duty. But it is seen sometime, a devotee of the Lord, he gives up all of his occupational duty. So is it that he is disobeying the orders of Lord Krishna? No, he is not disobeying. Because he realizes the power of devotional service, spontaneously he gives up all kind of swadharma and exclusively engages in the service of the Lord. He does not go back and perform his swadharma. Just like again in the Bhagavatam, there is a story of King Nimi and Vasishtha. King Nimi, as the king, he was performing all of his religious duties. He wanted to perform on sacrifice and he invited Vasishtha to be his priest. And Vasishtha told him, look, you wait and I have to go and perform some sacrifice to the demigods. And King Nimi realized that Vasishtha is going to the demigods because he is getting highest remuneration. He was getting greater greater dakshina. That was the only intention, therefore he has gone. So Nimi did not wanted to wait. He thought that I can die at any time. Why should I wait for Vasishtha to come? So he invited some other priest and he completed the sacrifice. He worshipped Lord Vishnu. And Vasishtha came back. And when Vasishtha came back, Vasishtha became very angry with King Nimi. And he cursed him that you die immediately. And King Nimi was shocked. He said, I don't do anything wrong. Why should he curse me? And King Nimi was also very powerful. He also cursed Vasishtha that you also die. Both King Nimi and Vasishtha died. Vasishtha was raised back by the combination of said, I'm done with material bodies, I want to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Again, there is another story in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There was one young Kshatriya, he was guarding his spiritual master's cow. He was guarding in the cow shed. And because he was guarding the cows of his guru, suddenly it was because Gurukul used to be situated in the forest, you know, the disciple was guarding, sitting in a virasan. Virasan is the asan which shows that a kshatriya is alert from any attacks. And suddenly one tiger jumped in and captured some cows. And just to protect the cows, the kshatriya, this young kshatriya, with his sword, it was all dark. He was trying to chase the tiger. And along with the tiger, it happened that he also killed a cow. And his spiritual master became very upset. He only saw the action of killing the cow. He didn't see the intention and he cursed him. Because you killed a cow, therefore I curse you. You know, because of this sinful activity, you have to face the reaction. Now the reaction was very severe and the curse was there. But because this disciple was a devotee of the Lord, rather than accepting this curse, he took to the path of devotional service. He worshipped Lord Hari with exclusive attention and he overcome the curse of his spiritual master and he went back to the spiritual world. This is how the process of Krishna consciousness allows one to override the principle of Swadharma, that there is no need one to perform one's occupational duty Rather, one should directly engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, devotee being very humble, he does not just, you know, for the sake of it, he does not give it up. Rather, he considered, in the most normal case as a devotee of the Lord, he always considered that I am sinful, I am so low, that he continues to engage in his occupational duties. Very rare advanced souls, they directly engage in the service of the Lord, giving up all of their occupational duties. But generally the devotees, what do? They continue to engage in the occupational duty, keeping Krishna in the center. If you see from the technical point of view, if somebody is acting according to their propensities, if somebody has the propensity of becoming a grihastha, if somebody has the propensity of being a kshatriya or a vaishya, so if he does that duty and then offers the results to Krishna, that is karma yoga on a technical level. But such a devotee of the Lord, if he engages his propensity in the service of the Lord under the guidance of the spiritual master, even though he's a vaishya, even though somebody is a kshatriya, even though somebody is a shudra, even though somebody is a brahmana, because such a devotee of the Lord is doing under the guidance of the spiritual master, that no more remains karma yoga. That becomes pure devotional service. Then a person acting as a grihastha, living outside, earning money, and giving the share of his money to the temple services, and a devotee living as a sannyasi in the temple, dedicating his life in the service of the Lord, then there does not remain any difference. Because both people, either a sannyasi or a grihastha, are engaging in the service of the Lord under the direction of the spiritual master, both are considered as a devotee by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though they are engaged in their occupational duty, they are doing under the direction of the spiritual master, that becomes pure devotional service. And in certain cases, where devotees of the Lord may give up everything because they are already attracted on a very spontaneous platform, just like Madhavendra Puri. He says, bye-bye all the ritualistic ceremonies. You know, I give up all of these ritualistic ceremonies. What do? I take exclusive shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is on the platform of Prema Bhakti. But on the sadhana bhakti, a devotee of the Lord, he continues to engage in his doubtling his propensity in the service of the Lord. But when he does it under the guidance of the spiritual master, then it does not remain any more any other process other than the process of pure devotional service. And Rupa Goswami concludes this chapter by quoting the verse, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. That even if somebody has engaged in so many sinful activities in this lifetime or in the previous lifetime, it doesn't matter. We have already discussed this. By performing bhakti, even the prarabdha karma, this concept is that one cannot destroy one's prarabdha karma. But Rupa Goswami makes it very clear. Prarabdha karma, matured sinful reactions, immature sinful reactions, sins which are in the seed form, sins which are in the seedling form, everything can be destroyed. And therefore Rupa Goswami quotes, Sarva dharman parityajya. That all kinds of sinful activities are eradicated. Therefore the process of Krishna consciousness is like, Prabhupada gave a very wonderful example, that there is a blacksmith method and there is a goldsmith method. When a goldsmith is making gold ornament, you see he has got a very small hammer and is hammering the gold very slowly, you know, very slow hit. He hits on the gold in a very slow way. Even to cut the gold, even to give a shape to the gold. But the blacksmith, what does he do? His hammer is very big. And even though the iron is very big, but what does he do? He takes one hammer and hits on the iron rod. And in one stroke, he breaks the iron into two parts. So Prabhupada says all other process, they are like goldsmith process. Tuk, 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 very slow. But the process of Krishna consciousness is like a blacksmith method. Take one hammer and stroke it at the right place. And what is it? That is the process of Krishna consciousness. Chanting Hare Krishna and associating with devotees. And simply by one Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One immediately gets situated on the platform of pure devotional service. Only thing that we don't realize it. So it doesn't matter we realize or we don't realize, we have to just continue to practice the process, and the process will itself will give us the purification and the realization of devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, anybody else has any question? Otherwise, doctor will ask question. Yes? Mike.
And I always thought that I have no right to continue the devotion. But as you said, everybody has got a right to continue in the devotion. But as far as the prayaschit is concerned, I was feeling it might be all right at the higher level, but at the lower level of like us, if the prayaschit is not there, and if we do the mistake, is it not that as we continue the process of the devotion, we continue the process of mistakes also, and we develop a chalta hai attitude that everything is fine. So, and it doesn't remind us that sometime we have to repent for it and sometime we should repent for it. It becomes a reminder. The paschatap and prayaschit becomes a reminder not to do the same. And a simple prayaschit like, for example, I am not able to do all my rounds. And I feel that if I could not do my rounds, I'll not eat prasadam tonight. And that's a simple prayaschit. And that reminds me next time when I feel like missing the rounds, that no, I'll have to again keep hungry in the night. So at my level, probably at higher level, you are right that the prayaschit is not required. And as you continue in the devotional service, it is all automatically washed. But then, automatically washed means every time it is accumulated. The old mistakes will be washed. How about the new mistakes which are being done? Because I have not to do the prayaschit. What is the way out for this?
So therefore, Rupa Goswami explains very clear that prayaschitta means, you know, while you are engaged in the service of the Lord, you are chanting Hare Krishna, you are following the four regulative principles, then suddenly you make some mistake. For example, you know, it may happen that you may kill one cat. So one should not consider, oh, because I have killed a cat, so therefore, you know, I have to go to Kashi on the bank of the Ganga and then keep a golden cat. Because I have done this sin. No. You continue to perform the process of Krishna consciousness. What you said about not completing your rounds and feeling repentance about it, that itself is a prayaschit. And one can take measures which are in the purview of devotional service. Just like, okay, because I didn't chant today my 16 rounds, so better let me chant 4 extra rounds tomorrow. That kind of prayaschita is good, because that is part of devotional service. Sometime it happens, it has seen also some practitioners, you know, because they make one mistake. Okay, I did not do this, therefore I'll forgo prasad, I will not eat prasad. I will give up afternoon's lunch. And they don't eat lunch. Until evening time they become very hungry and they eat non-devotional food. That is another sin. Rather than doing that, then you did second sin. that you did one sin of not chanting around, therefore you did not eat your afternoon meal, and because you became hungry in the evening, you ate which is not prasad. That becomes another sin, that you rejected Mahaprasad and you ate non-devotional food. Rejecting Krishna Prasad itself is a sin, and eating a non-prasad is another sin. Therefore, one has to be careful what kind of regulation we put for ourselves. When Haridas Thakur did not complete his rounds, and Lord Chaitanya's servant Govinda brought some Mahaprasad to him, he didn't say, I will not eat. He offered obeisances. He took some part of that prasad, so that he did not to disrespect the prasad. It has happened many times with some devotees. They would take some measures, okay, I will not eat prasad because I have done this. But because they would be hungry, because they have this material body, therefore nothing should be done in a way which is not under the guidance of an authority. Otherwise, the measures which we desire to advance in Krishna consciousness, but if it is not done under the direction of proper authorities, it becomes otherwise. So better should be done in the direction of the teacher. So prayaschita means, if you have not chanted your rounds, chant more rounds. Not minimize the process of devotional service. Eating Krishna prasad is also bhakti. It is a part of devotional service. Not it, I will not eat prasad means, what we minimize the value of prasad. It has to be taken. Otherwise, you know, next thing can happen, that you will not eat Krishna prasad, but you will eat prasad, you will eat food which is not offered to Lord Krishna. When you eat food offered to, food which is not offered to Krishna, that is one sin, and because you rejected Krishna prasad, that is one sin. If you had eaten Krishna prasad, even though you had not chanted your rounds, you would have not eaten non-prasad food. So therefore, one has to be very careful that, you know, that one should not whimsically act. So therefore, prayaschita involves one should intensify devotional service. What we are doing, we continue to do that with an intense remorse. That, oh, I should have not done like this. So therefore, I will work hard not to do it and continue to engage in the devotional service. Rather than giving up something which is also part of the devotional service. One might say, you know, because I did these sinful activities, today I will not dance in the kirtan. Dancing in the kirtan is not for me or my sense gratification. Dancing in the kirtan is part of the process. 64 items. Sometimes we see, you know, some devotees, when they do something wrong, they feel guilty and they're standing in the corner, not dancing. You can know that, oh, something wrong has gone with them. Therefore, not dancing. That means they consider dancing, you know, is like, I like it, therefore I will do it. I don't like it because I've done something, therefore I will not enjoy this. No, dancing is part of the process. You have to do it. You like or you don't like. You have done something wrong or you don't have done something wrong. So therefore, all the limbs of devotional service are not meant to be neglected. They are meant to be practiced. That is the important point. And prayaschita means repentance and intensifying the process of Krishna consciousness. Jagai Madai repented. Madai was repenting all the time. But his repentance did not minimize the practice of devotional service. Rather, it increased the practice of devotional service. That is the point. Any limb of devotional service should not be minimized. Sometimes devotees feel guilty about something, and they don't come to the temple. Oh, why should I come to the temple? That's a sin. That is an offense in itself. Coming to the temple is in itself is a prayaschita. You come with a greater humble mood. Now you used to come that I am a devotee, but when you have done something wrong, then you come with a greater humility. That humility itself will purify you nicely. Therefore, the process at no point of time should be minimized. In fact, it should be intensified with remorseful heart. That is the best prayaschita recommended by our acharyas. So we'll stop here. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.